Morning. It's good to see some familiar faces. I don't know if you all are aware, but Atlanta and Dothan are a little different. Hours apart, but in some cases worlds apart. And even when we get outside of Atlanta, as soon as you get closer to Interstate 285 makes up what you call the perimeter of Atlanta. And so that's kind of like the bypass, much like the circle is here. I mean, it's really almost the same kind of traffic and everything. If you're good on the circle, you're good at Atlanta. But there, when you get anywhere, as soon as you start getting close to the perimeter, anywhere right around that, and of course, closer you get to the heart of the city and downtown, I mean, it's just a totally different world, even from the state of Georgia. Looks different, acts different, in many cases, votes different, thinks different. I mean, just a totally different world, even though we're just, in some cases, minutes apart. And that's where we are, and we love it. It's not as crazy as you might think. Some people don't understand the difference in this, and this afternoon we'll share a lot more. But there is a difference in something being urban and it being inner city. Now, we're in an urban environment, which means there's a lot of density and diversity in population. A lot of townhome communities where there are a lot of people, a lot of apartments, and even the single family homes, they don't have as much of a yard as we're accustomed to here. So we still have neighborhoods, but we're close to the big city, if that makes sense. And my home is about 15 minutes from downtown. But it doesn't feel like I'm downtown at the same time. So it's hard for people to really wrap your mind around what our life looks like without us just kind of coming and showing you, hey, here's where we get groceries and this is what it looks like. So don't necessarily think inner city, but it's also, obviously, it's not Dothan. We're kind of somewhere in between. But we'd love for you all to come visit at some point. Our goal is not to launch publicly until next fall. So we're in the building phase. And this afternoon, I'll explain a lot more. But in church planning, it's much like starting a new business. I mean, we are starting from scratch, which means we have nothing. We have no location. We have very few people. And we are literally doing all the work that it takes to build something from the ground up. So we had our year of preparation in Nashville, where we did a lot of training and research and a lot of recruiting and the building of people and resources. And then this year in Atlanta, we're doing the same thing just in the city. We're learning the area. We're meeting community leaders. We're trying to identify a location. A lot of really important work. But one of the biggest things that's different in Atlanta and Dothan, even in this climate right now in the midst of a pandemic, is Atlanta is a lot more shut down. So this is going to seem strange to you all. This Sunday morning is the first Sunday morning when Danielle and I have attended a church since we were here in March. Because the church where we attend, the church that has kind of adopted us for the year where I'm doing training, and I spend time with our staff. I go to that church 2 or 3 days a week, but their Sunday gatherings are still online. So most churches inside the city have not reopened. And so that's very different. Now, we knew we were moving to Atlanta to start a new work, but this pandemic has shown us just how important it is for people that need the community of God. And so for even us to sing together with saints, I've been able to go a few times. But this is the first time for our family to be at a church on a Sunday morning, just because unless we drive out, we could do that. That's just not as feasible as what you all have here. For many reasons, it's a higher risk in the city. People live closer together and there's different demographics. So some people are more hesitant, but also we don't have this kind of space. A lot of the churches have small parking lots and not as much space inside. And then the bigger churches are just a little more cautious for other reasons because their crowds are so large. So it's been a different time to be in the city, but we're enjoying it. So I'll catch you up real quick, and I want to try to encourage you this morning from God's word in the way that I've been having to preach to myself in the midst of a crazy season. So when we said yes to God, and we didn't really know what all that meant, and said yes, we'll leave everything we've built here and go, and we didn't even quite understand what we're saying yes to, we were already kind of in that this has taken more faith than anything I've ever done in my life. And then in the middle of that first year, after we've already said yes, and we're planning, a pandemic happened. So it's requiring even more faith on top of the faith that we already thought was kind of crazy. So Danielle and I had some really hard decisions to make after we visited with you all in March, and then this thing really came on. So in April and May, we're getting close to like, this is decision time. We leave Nashville and move to Atlanta and we go all in, or do we delay our time? And the church where we were in Nashville said, you can stay longer here. We'll figure something out. You know, we agreed it was only a one-year a residency program we were there for, but they understood this is unheard of. So if you need to stay longer, you can. And we wrestled and we prayed and we just weren't sure. Like, there's a fine line between faith and wisdom and stupidity. And sometimes I kind of teeter on that line, like, hey, like, God, if you're calling me to do it, I'll go. But there's certain things that may not be the wisest thing to do. And so I'm trying to wrestle Is this my flesh wanting to move forward? God, is this you? Because the last thing I want to do is uproot my family again into a new city without this community when you hadn't said go. And so we were constantly reminded, we wrestled and we prayed. And the hard part about this is we invited other people into that decision-making process, but only we could really make that decision. And that's tough. And maybe you've been in a place like that before where you listen to counsel and you seek the Lord in his word. But at the end of the day, you just have to trust that the Spirit's leading you, and we want to be obedient to what God was leading us to do. So I was reminded of one of my favorite verses, and I'm just going to share it real quick. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know that your work in the Lord is not in vain. So I was reminded in that time that anything I do for the Lord is not pointless. It's not futile. That there is power when I work in the Lord's name. And we kept hearing God almost kind of propel us forward, say, continue. Like, there's work to be done. And we'll share the full story this afternoon. But when the Lord opened a door during quarantine over Zoom for Danielle to have a job opportunity in Atlanta, we knew that was it. We're moving forward. So she has a job. Our kids are in a great school. We bought our house, which is kind of crazy, but we felt like if we're going, like we're going all in. And we're in Atlanta and we love it because we just felt like the Lord continued to do that. And he's just confirmed in so many ways that I can't share this morning his faithfulness. And where God calls, you know, he provides. But that was still not easy. It's easier for me to sit right here and look back and tell you how great God was. But in that moment, that's some of the most internal pressure I've ever felt in my life. And so when we did get a couple yeses, when Danielle gets this job and we get our house, there were some seasons of some heavy tears. And that's when I realized, man, I'm carrying a lot of weight that I didn't quite understand. And just like a lot of pastors in this season are carrying a new weight, people talk about decision fatigue. Do we open? Do we close? Do we spread out? How do we do this? There are just so many decisions that we're having to make on a regular basis. And there's really no benchmark for us to compare it to. So it's been trying, but God has been faithful. And so what we've said is, like, we already put our yes on the table when we moved. So our goal is just to leave the yes on the table and just continue to do the next right thing. And that's my encouragement to you all at Mount Gilead. When we don't even know, like, it's hard to project 3 or 6 months. It's hard to project 12 months or later. But what we want to do is just be obedient, do the next right thing that God is leading us to do. And so I just want to remind you all this morning of something that the Lord has reminded me of in the midst of his uncertainty. Is that God's mission has not changed. So that's the title of today's message. The mission has not changed. Our environment has changed drastically. I mean, obviously, Dothan to Atlanta was already going to be a change. And now you add a pandemic, it's changed in ways we could never have imagined. But the mission that God has given us has not, and it never will change. So I'm going to start in Matthew this morning. You can go ahead and turn there. Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to read a few verses there in Matthew 16. I'm going to start in verse 13. And that'll kind of be where we ground today's message, but I'm going to share several different places in Scripture. And so this morning, as we walk through different areas of Scripture, I'm going to walk you through the journey that the Lord has been reminding me of during this time. Not so much the decisions that we've made, but more so the things he's reminded me of in his word. And I think while our environments are different, and while how we play this out, obviously us starting a new work versus Mount Gilead being well established, those they bring some differences, but we are all trying to accomplish the same goal. We're all on the same team. We're all trying to build the same kingdom. So I think there'll be some points of application that will make sense to you all this morning, even though, again, we're hours yet worlds apart. So let's read Matthew, and if you continue, do we still stand at Mount Gilead? I think that's probably forever. So you can go ahead and stand. Matthew 16. And verse 13, and I'll read probably through 20, and then I'll pray. Now, I'm sorry to commit this, but I'm reading from the Christian Standard. I know you guys are probably in the ESV, and you just had to forgive me, Pastor. But we're in the gym, so maybe CSB is kind of fitting for a gymnasium. So Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But you," he asked them, "who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus responded, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. Then he gave the disciples orders to tell no one that he was the Messiah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the power of your word and the reminders of your promises we're going to see this morning. Thank you for Jesus and his ministry and the realization of what that means for us and the church and how you've built that upon the apostles, the foundations we have in your word, and now you're building that through us around the world. Help us to understand the great privilege and the call we have to be a part of building your kingdom and the promise you've made to your church to endure forever. Please help us receive this message with clarity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to see a couple main points today that we'll move around the text in different places of Scripture. But I just want to start by giving you the main idea. And this is what the Lord has just impressed upon me during this season. So here's the main idea of today's message that I want you to walk away encouraged by. Is that regardless of the circumstance, the mission of God and the medium of its execution has not changed. So we're going to talk about the mission and the medium in the sense of what mission has God given us, what is his mission, and what medium, meaning through who, does God advance his mission? One thing we won't talk a lot about is method. All right, so the method that we employ the mission may look different. What do I mean by that? What we're doing right now, we have to think, especially in these beginning stages, as missionaries. So we're engaging the city of Atlanta just like if you would have dropped someone into another country. The only difference is that we don't have a language barrier. Everything else is almost identical. We're starting by getting to know our community and our neighbors and sharing the gospel, and then we kind of birth some things out of that. It's a little different than some of the methods here. Now, some things will overlap, but I think you would understand that there are some methods. Like walk through Bethlehem is a method that you're using to advance the gospel to reach the community. That's not a method that we're anywhere close to being able to provide. It's something like 200 volunteers need to walk through Bethlehem. I will shout and we'll do the hallelujah dance if there's 200 people at our church this time next year. In fact, I may wave a flag big enough you can see it from Dothan. If we get 200 people at our church, that's going to be the biggest win ever. That's probably not what we're going after. So our methods will have to look different. But the mission and the medium are exactly the same at any time, at any place, and anywhere in the world. And that's what I want to remind us this morning. So the first main point is that the mission is the same. And the mission is what we call the Missio Dei. That means the mission of God. Many of you have heard of the Imago Dei, that we're all created in the image of God. The Missio Dei simply means the mission of God. All right, now, when that originally started, what theologians are trying to convey is the sending nature of God. And that's something, if you've been around here or me really much at all, is something that I've been kind of consumed with, the sending nature of God. So the idea of the Missio Dei is this: the Father sending of the Son, and then the Son and the Father together sending of the Spirit. So the Father sent the Son and they sent the Spirit. So we see the sending nature of God from beginning to end in Scripture, and that's what we mean. Now, when I say Missio Dei, I'm talking about kind of a larger picture of the mission of God. And so we have to ask ourselves the question is, what is God trying to accomplish in the world? But I think to his people, it would be important to answer that question. What really is God after? What is he trying to do? And so we have to be crystal clear, especially in our efforts, because there's something in organizational leadership, we talk about mission drift, that once you get going, you get this number of people in a church of this size, if we're not crystal clear on our mission, we can drift a little because we bring different ideas and opinions to the table, and it's easy to get distracted by things that are important, but maybe not most important, because we kind of get drawn in different areas that we're excited about and could matter. But we want to make sure that we're crystal clear to answer the question, what is, like, if there's just one thing, what is God really after? What is this mission of God that he's, you know, created this world for, and why are we here and engaging in this mission? Now, I just want to briefly, because we don't have time to unpack all of it, but I want to briefly help you understand this big picture of what God's mission is. And for me, I like to reference that, and the students, if you were spent any time in our student ministry while I was here, we talked about the meta-narrative of Scripture, gives us this big idea of what God is after. And so it starts with just the story, the narrative of Scripture, and that from beginning to end, it's creation. When God created everything, it was good and perfect. And His glory was the only thing that could exist. Then unfortunately, we know, I mean, we're only a couple chapters in, guys. It didn't take long. And then we have the fall. And so we understand that we all share in this fallen nature of humanity, which kind of mars God's image in us, and we see brokenness in society. So there are some things in this world that we will never get over, which is really sad. I've learned this year saying from a pastor that I'm studying with in Atlanta that life is tragic, but God is faithful. And we will never be able to deny that reality here. And the fall entered that in. So we see creation and then fall. Well, then what happens? How does God bring everything back to the way He wants it to be? This is His mission. We can jump all the way to Ephesians 2 and all throughout the Gospels and different places, even in Philippians, some places we like to run and think about the cross of Christ. And then we think about redemption. So creation was good. The fall brought sin. And then just all throughout from that point in the Old Testament until the cross is this idea of promise and pursuit. God promises to His people, I'm going to make this right. I'm going to provide. I will take care. And I'll continue to pursue you, even when His people kind of had that roller coaster relationship that we model today. And then we look to the cross and we see redemption is possible because of what Jesus did. And then the good news is we already have the end of the story. We can go to Revelation and we can see that restoration happens. That one day we'll be there. Now you and I live between the cross and restoration. But the grand story of God's mission is everything started out great. And one day He's going to make it all good again. And we are looking forward to that day. Some of you this morning, you probably forgot the hope that you have in Revelation. Some of you walk and live and maybe even post on social media like you forgot that the cross happened and Jesus is coming back. Today may not be the best, but this isn't the end. And so the good news that I've been reminded of, that in the midst of this uncertainty, the mission of God will be accomplished. All things will be made right again. So what is, if I could simplify, what mission am I talking about in this story of Scripture? It's God's reconciling work of the cross of Christ, how He restores all things back to Himself. And that's the mission that God is on, restoring things back to Himself by expanding His glory to the nations. Psalm 67. You can flip there. I'm going to read it. You can flip there if you'd like. But in Psalm 67, this is a passage that many have referred to when they think about mission. How can we say that the mission is same? Because we see one mission throughout the storyline of Scripture. We see one mission that God eventually gives the church. And the Psalms speak of it here. What is this mission? What is God after? We know that God's jealous for His glory and affection to be made known everywhere. And we see that in this psalm. So I'll read Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us. May He make His face shine upon us so that Your way may be known on earth. Your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, God. Let all the peoples praise You. Let the nations rejoice and shout for joy, for You judge the peoples with fairness and lead the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise You. God, let all the peoples praise You. The earth has produced its harvest, God. Our God blesses us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear Him. This text serves as a jumping off point for a lot of work on missions. In fact, John Piper has written a great book on modern missions and just this idea of the mission of God in this book called Let the Nations Be Glad. And the entire thesis of his argument of why missions even exist and what we're getting after is this. Piper says missions exist where worship doesn't. So God's mission around the world is to have all of creation worshiping Him. And our job is to join in making sure that happens wherever He places you. So what we say is from our neighbors to the nations until all have heard. That's the mission of God. For His glory to be spread around the world and for everything to point back to Him in worship. The mission is advanced through what we call the Great Commission. He gives that to the church and we'll go there in a moment. But this idea, how does this mission advance around the world? How does Psalm 67 take place? Through the proclamation of the gospel, through the local church, empowered by the Holy Spirit, until all have heard. That's why Jesus said confidently, His last words, and maybe you've heard this said before, Jesus' last words should be our first work. How does Psalm 67 become a reality here in Dothan and wherever you are? Jesus says, this is the Great Commission. I'm just reading the end of Matthew 28. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So from age to age, the nations have been on God's heart. And he wants his glory and fame spread to every corner of the earth. And that starts in your heart. Acts 1:8 is a continuation of the Great Commission. Many of you may be familiar. It says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So this is the idea. What is this mission? Is that God wants to spread his glory and his fame. He wants his name known in every single nation. That includes the nation that we live in and every nation around the world. So from Genesis to Revelation, everything points to the glory of God. And we see that happens because of the cross. Now we're empowered by the Spirit. And this is the mission that you and I should be engaged in. So it doesn't matter at what point you were born or where you live or what language you speak or the color of your skin. Every single person who's a part of the church of God shares in this same mission. So that gives me comfort to know that I'm not alone. Gives me comfort to know that we're on the same team and we're building the same kingdom. That's God's kingdom. But more specifically, what does this look like? So I read, and we're going to go there in a moment, Matthew 16. And that's kind of where we kind of jump off a lot of times. The New Testament, we start to see the building of the church. But the mission existed well before the New Testament. I mean, I think we understand that. Sometimes we don't think about it. It's not like we wait till the end of Matthew 28 and this just brand new mission that Jesus gives us. He kind of repackages it, obviously, and it's specifically for the church. But God's mission has been the same from the beginning. This is just kind of in our moment in time where we enter into God's mission because we live on this side of the cross in the local church, as we know, the New Testament church that we try to build wherever God places us. So I love what the theologian Christopher Wright explains, the fact that this mission actually existed before the church was created in the way that we know it. He says it this way. It's not so much the case that God has a mission for his church in the world, but that God has a church for his mission in the world. Mission was made, not made for the church. The church was made for mission, God's mission. So what happened is basically God, one reason that God's able to create the church, this bride of Christ and how we relate, is to extend his mission. So it came through Christ and now it extends through, which is crazy for us to wrap our mind around. The mission that God made possible through his son is now given to his bride to continue to extend his name around the world. It's kind of the passing the baton that happens from Jesus to us. So now the mission already existed. Now God's created a church and he's brought these two together. And that's where you and I step in. So the second major thing I really want you to remember today is that the medium is the same. So if the mission is the same, and that's the missio Dei, or the mission of God, then the medium is the same. The way that God extends, the vehicle through which he takes that mission, and that's the local church. Now there are a lot of really good parachurch ministries, and there are a lot of great missionaries taking the gospel around the world. But one reason that we're drawn to church planting is because God's plan A for reaching the world is the local church. So we need more churches all throughout North America. We need more churches around the world. Some of you may not be familiar, but even the International Mission Board, their strategy, when you go and you see new believers come to Christ in a foreign context, then you plant a church because there are no believers separated from the church. The idea, as you reach people for Christ and disciple them, now you birth a new body. So our goal in church planting, whether that be here or internationally, is to start a new fellowship, a local fellowship of believers, because that's how God created this to be. And that's what makes Mount Gilead special. You're a local expression of the body of Christ, and that's very important. And it's important to understand that identity, because some things that God promises his bride, that he doesn't promise other things. So for example, I was really involved with Wired Ministries, and I love it. It's great, and I pray that Wired continues for a long time. But if it doesn't, that's okay, because Wired is not the church. God has not made certain promises to Wired that he's made to his bride. There are other parachurch ministries you may involve with, Fellowship of Christian Athletes or other things that we do. Those are important, but they're not essential. Only the local church fits that bill. And so we can see, and I want you to understand, in Matthew 16, if you go back to where we read earlier, this confession It's all built upon this. When Jesus says, okay, well, who do people say that I am? Our confession of who the Son of Man is what obviously gives us this birth into the kingdom. And when Jesus asked Peter specifically, I know what other people are saying, but who do you say? And he's asking disciples. Peter speaks up. He says, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus makes this bold claim. That's true, and you're blessed because you understand that, Simon. Because flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven. And it's the same way all of us come to Christ. The Father draws us to the Son and gives us this understanding of who Jesus really is. And our confession of who Jesus is what brings us access because of his blood on the cross into this local body. But look what Jesus goes on to explain. On this confession, on your work, look what Jesus starts to birth. And he says in verse 18, and I also say to you that you're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, or the gates of hell, will not overpower it. So I'm just going to give you a few reminders when we're thinking about the medium, the fact that God worked the church, the promises we have, and this is it. The first, the church is unstoppable. The bride of Christ will endure forever. The local church is an unstoppable movement. And that's why you can, this is going to be honest, you can see some kind of jacked up pastors. Gives me hope. You can see broken people leading broken people, and God still does miraculous work. Not because we're awesome, because God has said, I'm going to take this local church and I'm going to take this all around the world. So the hope we have is in Christ, not in my ability. And you can just think any old average Joe pastor, and it's like God can use anyone, and he will, because this is his bride, and this church will not be able to stand against the gates of hell. Like, we're going to be fine, or the gates of hell won't be able to push back against the church, because God has us in our hand. And some of you may think, I want to be very, very gentle here. I live in a different world than you. But some of you may think, in light of a pandemic, and now because an election, if however this ends, is not what you want, let me just remind you, regardless of what you believe, your mission hasn't changed, and the church is going to be okay. Because our church is in the hands of our Lord. Now, things may not be great. If I had to plant a church in China, would it be different methodologically than if I had to start a church here? Absolutely. But what I want to do this morning is encourage you, regardless of the circumstance, pandemic, election, we could be talking about economic issues, whatever may come in 2021. All right, I don't think anybody intended 2020. If you prophesied 2020, then there's probably something special that we can talk about later. I'd love for you to give me a prophecy for 2021 because we're trying to make some plans. But none of us knew that outside of God. He wasn't surprised. But what I want to remind you of this morning, 2021, 22, it could get worse. I don't know. Before it gets better. I don't know if it'll get better. But I do know that my mission has not changed and the local church will prevail. The Lord will still use people like Mount Gilead to take his gospel around the world. So even if things are uncomfortable, and it's not fun, and starting a new work in a crazy, I'm still reminded and encouraged that I can't be distracted because the church is unstoppable, and God will still move us forward. So even when things outside don't look great, be reminded of what God will do in and through you to reach the community and transform culture as we bring the glory to the Lord. So how can I say that? How can I say that the church is unstoppable, and that, I mean, things could just be falling all around us and we can still have hope? Even when we think, well, I mean, the economy could break down. Some of you could still be fighting unemployment and people are sick and we're losing life. How can we say that? Because we're held in the hand of our Savior. Again, I'm going to read a lot of verses. You don't have to flip. You can just listen quickly. But Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. We won't read them all, but the idea says, then what do we say? Paul's encouraging. What do we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who's at the right hand of God, and he's interceding for us. So that one is interceding for you right now. So who can separate you from Christ's love? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger? Is there anything that can keep you from feeling the love of God this morning? The answer is no. Because we're held in the hand of Jesus. So I have to preach myself this message on a regular basis because I don't have a community like this. There's just a few of us. So what I'm sharing with you this morning is what I have to go to the scripture and tell my heart on a regular basis. That this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I thought it would look like. This is harder. It's different. In some cases, more lonely. But it's okay. because I'm held in the hand of Jesus, and he wants to extend his glory to the world through the local church. So I can have confidence in what we're doing moving forward, regardless of what the world looks like on the outside, because my hope is in the promises of his word. And so while our situation is very different, and I don't know all that you're facing here in this Circle City, I want to encourage you this morning to remember that God has you, and there's nothing that can separate you from his love. So the church is unstoppable, and God's love will get you. And this, if you're not feeling, literally feeling the love of Jesus right now, then it's not because God doesn't want to extend that to you. And that we can be reminded of that hope in the midst of a crazy season. Especially if we look to news or social media, everywhere we look right now, it's just chaos. We live in a broken and divided world. So if you don't still your heart and calm your mind and remind yourself of the promises of Scripture, you'll be distracted and in some kinds just discouraged, if we're honest, because things just don't look that great. But I have a reminder, they won't look like this forever. And what God wants to do inside of me is more important than what's happening outside of me anyway. I like to look to Isaiah as well. And again, I'll just read this for you. But Isaiah 14, 24 through 27, and this reminder is that God's plan for his people will not be thwarted. Isaiah 14 says this. God's kind of talking about his people, the nation of Israel. Some other nations have risen up against the nation of Israel. And he says, the Lord of hosts has sworn, as I have planned, so it shall be. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land and on my mountains trample him underfoot. And his yoke shall depart from them and his burden from their shoulder. This is the purpose that is purposed concerning the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out over all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? Who will stop God's plan? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? So I'm just reminded, when you feel like you may be oppressed, or you may feel like things are not ideal for the gospel to move forward, or you feel like God's church is not being the church that you want it to be, we can be reminded because the promise is God's plan for God's people will not be stopped. So what God wants to do in and through us will happen because it's not based on what happens politically or economically or socially in any other environment. God's plan is not even always based on what I can do. God's plan is based on his work, on his promise, and on his will. So when I look out to a world that's broken and crazy, and not exactly a time when probably people would say it's a great time to start a new work, praise God. That's probably not the climate. If all this would have happened today, if you asked me that question, if I knew everything I knew today would be true for our family and the environment in which we're trying to start a new work, would I still go? I would have to wrestle. Hopefully, I would still say yes. And that's that fine line between faith and wisdom. Yes, because God will still provide. Yes, because even in the midst of a pandemic and who knows what's going to happen around the world, God still wants to spread his glory and his fame through the local church. So we still need new churches. Your work may look different, but it should still continue at Mount Gilead because this is God's will and it won't be stopped. And the reason that we can have final hope is because the bride will make it to that day. The church of God will make it to the final day that he promised. So if your soul right now is downcast or discouraged, or for lack of a better term, if you're just in a tizzy and you're upset about everything you see in the world right now, remember, this is not the end. Our pastor has reminded you that multiple times. If you live your best life now, then you won't have your best life then. But we share in hope this morning, this isn't it. My best life is yet to come. And so in times when things don't go your way, or if you're upset, or we're discouraged, or you're just in a sad spot, we can look to the cross and remind ourselves of the fact that Jesus will return. So I'm going to read you just a couple places in Revelation. I just want you to picture what this will be like. I would say close your eyes, but you know yourself. If you might fall asleep, don't close your eyes. All right? Elbow your neighbor if they do. But whatever helps you get a visual of the fact that the bride, the church of God, will make it to the day, will make it to the finish line. Revelation 7, 9, and 10. After this, I looked, and there was a vast multitude. Just try to picture what's happening here. Every nation, tribe, people, and language, which no one could number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." There will be a day, if you're in Christ, that we will make it to that day. when we will all sing together, "Salvation belongs to the Lord," and you will forget every bad day you ever had here, because our eyes will be fixed on what God's preparing for us then. So you have to remind your soul of those things if you haven't that day right now. And then at the very end, almost the very end of the whole book, Revelation 19, 5 and 7. This is the day that the bride that we are being prepared for. A voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all his servants, and the ones who fear him, both small and great." Then I heard something like the voice of a vast multitude, like the sound of cascading waters, and like the rumbling of loud thunder saying, "Hallelujah, because our Lord God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us be glad, rejoice, and give him glory, because the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has prepared herself." Yesterday, I officiated a wedding, which is one of the reasons we were even in town this weekend. And it's kind of more common these days for the bride and the groom to do a first look and get pictures and kind of either on video or on camera to kind of have that moment where they see each other for the first time before everyone else shows up. But yesterday was a little more traditional. The bride and groom didn't see each other on the wedding day until she actually walked down the aisle. I think the bride just wanted to see her groom cry, and she knew this may be my only shot. But it was a really beautiful setup, much like this. It was outdoor, so we actually had two. So you actually have a main aisle, and we're at a barn outside a really cool venue, and all the doors were closed. And all the family comes in, and everybody's ready, and kind of everybody's around, and we know. Everybody knows this moment is about to happen. And then the barn doors come open, the music turns on, and here comes this bride, all in white, coming down the aisle, and she's starting to tear up, and the groom's starting to tear up, because the marriage of the Lamb has come. There's going to be a day in that setting that you and I will be in. And a lot of people, they love, in that moment in the wedding, they like to look at this groom and kind of get a picture, like, oh, what is he thinking or feeling? And they try to see, what does it look like when the groom first meets eyes with the bride? And here's the cool thing. This is really, really cool. You need to understand this morning. You will know, because you will be the bride, and we'll be able to lock eyes with our groom when the marriage of the Lamb has come. When Jesus ushers us in, you'll forget all the chaos in the world, and it'll be the best day ever, because the marriage of the Lamb has come. Because the church is unstoppable, because this is God's plan. So he's going to preserve his people, and he's going to put forth his mission, no matter the climate or the external environment that we're going through. And I don't know about your heart, but my heart needs to be reminded of that in this season very regularly. That when things are tough, I can remember that this is the day we're fighting for. And you know what our goal is? I'm fighting for a day when there are people in Atlanta who get invited to this marriage supper who right now don't even know it exists. There are people who will lock eyes with a groom that they have yet to meet. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. And that's why you continue to extend the gospel all around the Wiregrass area. Because there are people who currently have an invitation they haven't received, and they need to be invited to this marriage supper. And here's the crazy thing. God uses us, his church, to extend that invitation and his glory and fame to the world. So the mission has not changed, and the medium has not changed. God will prevail, and he's going to use you to do it. And that's just a crazy thought that you need to be reminded of this morning. So let me just encourage you with a couple things as we close. Don't let the enemy distract you. Do you know what the enemy wants? He wants division. Our nation is incredibly divided. Our church can't afford to be. We need to be united around the mission of God, the love of Christ, and push forth together. So we need to make sure that we're not distracted. Because we'll get distracted by either lesser things, or we'll fight over other things, and we won't advance the mission. There's no pandemic, no election, there's nothing in this world that can derail the mission of God. So let's stay on it together. Let's keep the focus where it belongs. And remember this, our hope is in the one who never changes. There's only a couple things you can be promised. You can be promised that our world is only going to change and get worse in many cases, but that God will remain faithful. Remember, life is tragic, but God is faithful. And he wants to use you to take that message around the world until all have heard, so the nations proclaim the glory of God as his fame and renown is known everywhere. But be reminded this morning that starts in your heart.